Be looking at another interesting subject today, which actually defines why we are called to serve God. And for those who will be, of course, joining us as well, they will be able to meet up with, of course, probably maybe before the end of the program. Or after the program, they can listen to the recording and played over again, and so as they will get acquainted with the discussion today. Before we proceed, I would want us to say a word of prayer. Let's close our eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, we'll pray. Righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We bless your name. Thank you for making today a possibility in our lives. Well, thank you for how you've been helping us in our daily activities. Thank you for helping us, oh Lord, thus far in our lives, in the activities that we go through each day. Thank you for making us overcomers in Christ Jesus. Your word says that the entrance of your word giveth light and understanding unto the simple. Lord, we pray that your word will bring life into us in Jesus' name. We pray, we ask it, oh God, that you will minister to our hearts and your word will perform the purpose to which it will be delivered and sent today in Jesus' name. We pray, oh God, that you will stir up the faith in us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And you will help us, O Lord, to acknowledge the fullness of your power and your presence in our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that as we look into your word, that you will open our eyes and understanding so as to be able to understand that which you will speak to our lives today in Jesus' name. Bless us today as we gather together in fellowship. For in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Welcome once again. Today on Family Essence, we will be looking at another important subject before us, which defines our faith. And of course, it's interesting that as we navigate through life, we begin to, ask a different question that pops in, and then you begin to find out how those who have lived before us are able to survive and are able to overcome the challenges, as it were, those challenges that looks like a mountain, and they were able to really overcome, and their faith was still strong in the Lord. And we'll be looking at just a passage of scripture today, and of course, we're looking at probably maybe one or two or three passages of scripture to really stir up our faith to make us understand that the purpose of existence is tied to our faith, right? There are different things that happens even if you look within yourself, you will see some kind of challenges that looks like a mountain, and you've been trying to move them, you've been trying to move that mountain, you've been trying to shift that mountain, and it looks like that mountain is not moving. Of course, the essence of coming into the kingdom of God is to apply the available technology that God has made available to us. There are different kind of technology, and one of the technologies we will be looking at today to be able to apply that technology into our lives, into our situation, and to be able to understand that God has made everything available for us, but it is a matter of us stirring up the faith in us so as to be able to overcome the different challenges and the different troubles and the different problems that we encounter even within our lives and those around us. And the subject we'll be looking at today is a centurion faith. Now, a centurion faith. All through Christ's journey on earth and during his missionary campaigns and empowerment, basically, that he put forward to the Sanhedrin, to his apostles, and to those who would want to listen to him, he spoke about faith. Faith is believing and looking at those mountains that looks as if they are just there for decades, for years, for months, for days, for how long those things has been there. Now, it is very important for us to understand that the world in which we live in, it was framed from that same perspective, that technology of faith. God applied it when he created the world, when he created us. He spoke that word. You know, the Bible made us understand that he said the word and those things came to being, and then we being creatures of God. A centurion's faith. The Bible talked about this same centurion servant who was well known in the Bible as one of the scenario that took place when Christ was going back and forth and campaigning for the kingdom of God, and he met this man that had a challenge, right? He had a challenge, and there are so many other people that had different challenges in the scriptures, which we're going to look at a couple. One of them is the centurion servant that we are looking at here. And in the book of John, the Bible spoke about a certain nobleman and whose son was sick and all that. So the centurion faith, before we proceed, I will be looking at the book of Matthew, so that we have an understanding of the subject of what we are talking about here. Matthew chapter 8, in verse 5-8, the Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him." Now, when Jesus made the statement, "I will come and heal him," of course, obviously, he would do that. He will follow the centurion to his house and, heal the servant that is seriously tormented and healed and then sick. And then, of course, this sickness is not, probably they've even applied different kind of, their own technology as it were at that time, medications and some other things that they've applied, and it's not improving. But the centurion came to Jesus and he told him the situation. He tabled it before him. He didn't keep quiet. He just tabled it before him. And then in verse 8, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. I am not worthy." Now, the centurion actually acknowledged the person of Jesus, knowing that this is not an... Using the word Lord means that you have accepted that this person is the Lord of all. He understands that technology. He knows what he's talking about. When it says, "I will come and heal him," the centurion understands the basis of, reverencing Christ as Lord. He said, "I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Speak the word only, and my servant. You don't need to know my address. You don't need to... You don't need to travel far. You don't need, just say in the word only, and my servant shall be healed. "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the kingdom. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And the servant was healed in that selfsame hour. Now, what I wanted to draw attention to here is that the Bible didn't give us a basis of, okay, this was the conversion of the centurion servant. He's a Christian. He was born again at so-so time. No, that the Bible didn't give us a background of those bases. The Bible only said the centurion acknowledged the person of Jesus, reverencing him as Lord. And for you to say somebody is Lord, that means the Lord of all. So acknowledging the presence of Jesus and accepting the message of Jesus, saying the word only, my servant shall be healed. Faith is a technology. It's a technology applied by God during creation when he said, let there be light. He called those things which be not as though they were. So when this technology existed and God demonstrated it when he was creating the world. So first we need to understand that the centurion servant here understand the concept of headship by referencing Jesus Christ as Lord. When you say somebody is Lord, that means you understand that this person is the Lord of all and he oversees he knows what he's saying when he say, I will come and heal him. And he understand the concept of supremacy, acknowledging the person of Jesus, knowing that there is no, he that comes from above is above all. He that comes from the earth is earthly. He understands earthly matter. So when Jesus Christ said, I will come and heal him, that means there is this supremacy and there is a concept of supremacy that this centurion understand. He understood the concept of command because he's a soldier. And then what soldiers understand if you have insight into how they operate and the modality of things and how they run their affairs, you understand that this centurion understand commandments. He understand commandments. So when Jesus Christ said, go thy way, go thy way, the centurion believed Jesus. He believed him. He didn't doubt, he didn't say this, he didn't that. First, he acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord. So more often than not, you know, we come to a point in our lives where we, you know, we've been accustomed to, okay, we go to church, we pray, but yet the problem that we are experiencing, whatever the problem is, maybe high blood pressure, maybe type 2, type 3, type 4, diabetes, or maybe a problem of migraine and all that. We need to detach ourselves from that regular ritual, because what you have is possible for you to just see it as, well, it's just there, you know, as just being a, you know, regular routine. This is what we do and all that. And so this centurion acknowledged that there is no other way. You either say the word and my servant shall be healed, or I acknowledge that you are the Lord. I've accepted your person. And then, you know, so the faith works when it is applied. Faith will only work when it is applied. If you see faith as a risk, this centurion did not, in this context, he didn't see faith as a risk. No, the centurion did not see faith as a risk. If he sees faith as a risk, that means what he's doing is that he's just weighing his option that, okay, if I say it, it doesn't work, we'll go back to the usual medicine that we used to use. Okay, if I say it, and then we go back to, you know, what he didn't see. He applied faith based on accepting the person of Jesus as being the Lord,
and then saying that just give the command, just is a command. Just say in the word only. That is commandments. He understands that concept. So what I'm saying in essence is that faith works when we apply it. If you don't put your faith to work, it is not going to, it's not, there is no magical. Okay, let's look at the book of, before we proceed, let's look at the book of Luke chapter 8 verse 41. Luke chapter 8 verse 41. I will read that and then we can. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 in verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come unto his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years old, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, I know we must have come across this passage of scripture, the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garments in the crowd, and then she was healed and all that. If you move on to verse in the book of if you move on to 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter said, they were with him, said, "Master, and the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, thou sayest, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody has taught me, I perceive a virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down, and said unto him, before all the people, for what cause she has touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good cheer, that thy faith has made thee whole." Now, the woman actually acknowledged that if I but may touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. So she put faith to work, not considering what she has been using. She might have been on medication, she might have been visiting physicians and all that, but she put faith to work. That's what God wants us to do. When you put faith to work, it works for you. If you don't put your faith to work, looking at alternatives, you can be deprived of your blessings. It is possible to doubt the power of God as a result of convenient living. A lot of people have issues. Maybe they have a form of sickness that has been on for decades, and then they begin to trivialize the power of God. And then because technologies are made available in the country where they live, you know, they have access to free health care, and then they can easily see a doctor and then make complaints, and then they don't have to pay money, and then the medications are almost free. And then you pay a little, and then they give you, and they've been on medication, they've shift focus and doubt the power of God. When you do that, your faith is dead. That faith is dead. It's not, you can't apply faith. And a lot of people come to church, and then they come to church, and then during the prayer time, even in their personal devotion, they've not trusted God to that level. When you come to God, you have to believe that he's a king. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. Your own is to put your faith to work. When you apply faith, things will start working. Things will start working. So that's what we are looking at today. This is a centurion's faith. This centurion, you know, the Bible didn't give us an insight. Even to the woman with an issue of blood, the Bible didn't say she was born again in 1980. She has been attending a church. Okay, she changed church. She moved over to a miracle church. The Bible didn't give us a background of any detail about their faith, their Christian faith, how they have been growing, how they have been observing devotion, attending meetings, prayer. The Bible didn't give us all that. What the Bible told us is that they put faith to action. And it's important that when we come to God, we need to accept His supremacy. That He is God. He is God. No matter what the sickness is, no matter what the disease is, no matter what the illness, no matter what, when you put faith to work, things will start following. Miracles, signs, wonders, things you don't expect will come into place. Now, this description of the centurion's faith, you know, as a passage of scripture, when I read the Bible, when I read that passage of scripture over and over again, the Holy Spirit began to educate me about, you know, the reason why a lot of people are still living in doubt, because they don't really believe the power of God. Because before they come to God, they already have an alternative. Now, if you have an alternative, definitely faith will be of none effect for you. And then it begins to educate me about, you know, the different technologies available today, you know, where people who are on a wheelchair, and then that technology of wheelchair wasn't there in the old time. It wasn't, there was not like, you know, you have a wheelchair, you have a remote chair that you can sit on and you can move around and all that. That the fact that you're even thinking about that has taken faith away from you. Probably someone who got involved in an accident and all that is. There's a lot of things in God's economy that we are yet to explore. And our miracle is in God, is there. But then we need to come to a full understanding of how this technology of faith works before it can work for us. If someone is involved in an accident, probably, maybe not the person's fault, or maybe someone who cannot speak, or who is dumb, who cannot hear properly, or who has a, you know, form of diabetes, or who has a growth somewhere in the body, or who has asthma, or who is some kind of sicknesses and all that. If the person doesn't believe, if your first strategy is to apply medication, you can be on that medication for decades. If you don't come to God and say, God, this is me, I need you to heal me, because I know my healing is in you. And then you begin to interact with God, and you begin to make requests based on the word of God, based on what you've read in the scripture, based on the things that has happened, based on the reality of God's kingdom and the things that are available in His economy. It is important that we bring ourselves to that knowledge of truth and to put our faith to work. And that's the essence of today's topic. A centurion's faith. So we need to look within ourselves. What is that mountain in our lives? What is that problem? What is that situation that looks very, very, very hard? I mean, for years we've been on a situation, and then we begin to ask, is this thing possible? No, this one is not possible. Is this one beyond medicine? No, this one is not. You begin to, those questions and all those noises begin to, you know, come up on your mind, and then you begin to doubt the power of God. Today, I want to tell you that your healing, your miracle is in God. Your miracle is not on the wheelchair. Your miracle is not in the medication you have been taking for years. Your miracle is not seeing a physician, the best doctors in the world. That's not where your miracle is. Your miracle is in God. Your faith needs to be put to work. You need to believe God. You need to trust God. You need to put your as if nothing matters. Just stay with God. That God, I need my miracle. I know it's with you. I need you to release my miracle to me. Now, when you begin to have this conversation within you, when you begin to have these things within you, of course, don't believe the enemy's lie. The enemy will tell you for where you've been on this thing. You better, you want to die soon. And, you know, it begins, those are noises from the devil. And when you pay attention to it, then faith will not, you will not be able to put your faith to work. So this, today I want us to put our faith to work. Put your faith to work. So I want us to close our eyes as we pray together. And I want to believe that as we put our faith to work, believing and trusting God, God is able to deliver. God is able to heal. God is able to do what He alone can do and no other person can do. Let's close our eyes and pray. Let's talk to God that, oh God, I've come before you today. I need you to heal me. I know I've been in doubt for years. I know I've been in doubt for some time that, you know, that this is not possible. But I'm coming to a realization that only you, God Almighty, can heal me. Only you, God Almighty, can heal me. Let's pray and talk to God that, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Help me, Jesus. 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 Begin to confess that you can work. Begin to confess that you can see. Begin to confess that your the sickness in your body is gone. Is gone. Is gone. Is gone. Is gone. Close your eyes and pray and talk to God that, oh God, I believe in your power. I believe in the person of Jesus. I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Begin to talk to God. And I pray that God Almighty will heal us this moment in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We bless your name. We thank you for your mercies upon our lives. Thank you for as many that have come to a realization that only you can heal. Only you can save. Only you can deliver. I pray that as many that have different kind of sickness and disease in their body, I give a commandment right now, and I command every sicknesses in their body to come out in Jesus' name. I pray and I rebuke every form of disease, every form of sickness, every form of a disease in their body. I command, come out in Jesus' name. I pray that every form of issues in their ears, every form of deafness in the ear, I command, I bind your spirit of deafness, come out in Jesus' name. I command you to begin to hear right now. I pray that you begin to hear right now. That person on the wheelchair, I pray that you get up and start walking at this point in Jesus' name. I command every form of issues that is in your body right now that is not making you to walk, I bind those spirit and I give command right now. Begin to walk. Get up from that wheelchair and start walking right now in Jesus' name. The power of God comes upon you. Begin to walk right now in Jesus' name. That person with an issue of asthma, I pray you asthma, come out in Jesus' name. I pray that person that is unable to hear clearly, that is unable to see clearly, I command that spirit of blindness, come out in Jesus' name. I command that deafness, come out in Jesus' name. Be healed this moment. Be healed this moment. Be healed this moment. Be healed this moment. That person with a spirit of madness, I command that spirit of madness. I bind you right now. Come out of that person's body in Jesus' name. Come out of that person's body in Jesus' name. I pray that the Lord God Almighty will restore back to you your health in Jesus' name. Receive your healing this moment. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for now it is done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm able to do, begin to do them. A miracle is there. Put your faith to work. Put your faith to work. Put your faith to work. Those miracles are there. Those miracles are there already. Exercise yourself. If you're unable to walk before, get up, start walking. If you're unable to hear clearly, begin to hear right now. If you're unable to see clearly, begin to see right now. Begin to see right now. Put your faith to work. Put your faith to work. Put your faith to work. And I pray that miracles will be permanent in Jesus' name.